Brendan Kelly to do the Pledge of Allegiance.
Please repeat after me.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you.
Thank you. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Fonzie.
Here.
Councilmember Moreno.
Here.
Councilmember Kelly.
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Sturdivant.
Here.
Mayor O'Malley.
Here.
All present.
Thank you. Next item is approval of agenda. And the only minor deviation I would do on the agenda is that normally we do council reports at the end of the meeting. But I know a number of folks are working on the 4th of July event. We do have Councilman Clay in the audience. So what I will do is just at the beginning of the public comment period, normally we have a representative from a ministerial association first. Right after that, I'll turn it over to Councilman Kelly and former Councilman Clay to give us a little bit of an update on 4th of July, give a little leeway on that, and any member of the public wishing to speak on that may do so at that time. Then we'll go on with the rest of the public comment. So if there's no objection to that minor change, I'd entertain a motion on the approval of the agenda.
So moved with a change.
Second.
We have a motion by Mayor Pro Tem Sturdivant, seconded by Councilwoman Fonzie. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Fonzie.
Yes.
Councilmember Kelly.
Yes.
Councilmember Moreno.
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Sturdivant.
Yes.
Mayor O'Malley.
Yes.
5-0, motion passes.
Thank you. We move on to presentations, and the first is a citizen commendation for an act of heroism, and we're very pleased to have this presentation to Lance O'Brien. Oh, it's O'Brien, it looks like, and it's by Police Chief Haley.
That is Lance O'Brien, so you got it right.
I should
Good
have
job,
it right
Mr. Mayor.
Being an O'Malley, but...
Well, your eyes are not deceiving you. We do. Sir O'Brien is a citizen commendation, but we did ask that he would come in uniform and proudly represent his agency to kind of show our partnership as well. Just to read a little bit about this incident to you, on May 29th, Officer Lance O'Brien was off duty. He was driving with his family in the area of the Stadium Park Bridge. While he was driving in that area, he observed an adult female standing on the edge of the bridge, and it was quite clear from his observation that she was planning on committing suicide, that she was preparing herself to jump over that bridge. Officer O'Brien did not give it a second thought. He stopped and immediately went to her aid, and he commented to me later something that was a little bit disturbing. He said he couldn't believe how many people just drove on past. But, of course, he did not. And that's why he's here tonight. He started speaking with this female and was able to develop a bit of a rapport with her. And through that conversation, through the ongoing interaction between the two of them, he was able to keep her from jumping and keep her distracted. I guess at one point in time, she made a movement towards the edge of the bridge and was very close to ending her life. And he was able, through his skills as an officer, to just kind of back off at that point, reassure her, get her to really, you know, think twice about the act that she was about to commit. He got close enough to her through this conversation and developed enough rapport to her that he was literally almost able to reach out and touch her. And right about that time, we had finally gotten some other calls. I think your wife actually called our department, so we thank you both. But right about that time, Officer Hall showed up and was able to assist as Officer O'Brien kind of lunged forward and grabbed her, pulled her away from the edge of the bridge, and they successfully subdued her and were able to take her into protective custody. It's quite clear from the recounting of this event on the part of Officer Hall that had it not been for Lance, this woman wouldn't be with us today. And it's quite clear that had he not acted, we would be dealing with an investigation of a suicide at that point. The selfless actions of Officer O'Brien on this occasion kept a tragedy from occurring. He's to be commended for his assistance to the city of Atascadero and to the Atascadero Police Department. And I would ask you, Mr. Mayor and Council, if you would join us in offering our sincere gratitude to Officer O'Brien for his service to the Foundation of Public Service presented by the Atascadero Police Department to Lance O'Brien in honor of your contribution to the city of Atascadero and its residents on Wednesday, May 29th, 2013, and we thank you very much.
Thank you again, sir.
Thank you. Would you like to say anything? I ask, how come every time I ask officers if they want to say anything, I get the same look? We would welcome you if you would like to say something. Otherwise, we'll ask you to just kind of come towards the front.
Say something. First of all, I'm honored to receive this. Thank you, Chief Haley, for giving me this award. I believe it doesn't really matter who you are, if you're law enforcement or not. This is a perfect example of a situation that could have gone terribly wrong. And with a split-second decision, knowing it was going to be the right thing to do, I jumped on it, and I hope it is an example to other people within the community to do the same thing if they're presented with that challenge.
Well, personally, I wonder if we could just vote on the mayor that hired Wade McKinney. Share us a little bit about the history of how things were pre-Wade McKinney and a little bit about the early days, and that'll be followed by former Mayor Jerry Clay telling us a little bit more of the recent history. Thank you. Welcome.
Thank you. As you know, Ray Johnson will live here in town, obviously, having filled that role. The early and mid-90s were not very kind to Atascadero. Things were rather tough in those days. We were upside down financially. We had a department head that refused to come to department head meetings. That's incredible, but that did happen. We had two of our senior staff members fighting each other in the press and behind the scenes as well. Very difficult. The council at that time insisted on a strategic plan, which we sort of did and got put in a drawer, never to be seen, see the light of day again after that happened. Just a lot of things like that were going on, and things were not going well in the city. We had just laid off a bunch of people because of financial. We had zero financial reserves. Things were difficult in those days. And so the then city manager moved on, and we had an interim city manager for several months. And we went out on a recruitment, and it became clear as Wade came before us that he had the skills and the background to be the guy that could help us out where we needed help. Little did we know how well he could do that. Start out with, we got briefed every week from the city manager, which was a rarity in those days. We actually knew what was going on, and that hadn't happened in the past. And Wade put together a top management team. Much of it's still in place today and keeping us going on a good path with a strong management team. We developed a comprehensive budget. We didn't have a clue about that back in those days. I mean, we just spent, money came in, we spent it and hoped that nobody would catch us. Matter of fact, our current financial person used to be our auditor. And she came to tell us at the end of each audit that there was some question whether we would be a going concern. It's called a going concern statement. That's pretty frightening. As you're sitting up there, we're not even sure you're going to keep going as a city, was the kind of report. We got a comprehensive budget in place. We did real planning, And the staff used the council's strategic plan to plan at the department head level, and then, wow, all the way down to the employees. And so the things that we set in place at the top level were carried down to the employees. Morale improved greatly, and we were in good hands. And so things changed, and has been on the economic development, state economic development board as well. And he has served our city very, very well. It's been a pleasure having him, and for many of us to have worked closely with him. So thank you, Wood, for your long and faithful service to our city.
Thank you.
Damn, there ain't much left to say, is there? Anyway, Wade, we had 16 good years together. I consider you a friend. We had some ups and downs, mostly ups, and, you know, I really appreciated your leadership. After the earthquake, I thought that was one of your shining moments. The leadership you showed after that earthquake was amazing, and it was a very difficult time for you, and you just took it on and did a hell of a job with it. Everything you did was, you know, first cabin. I'm kind of a glue and baling wire type of guy, you know, and things like this building, for instance. You know, you did a great job of engineering this building the way it is. The sunken gardens, I know it was your idea. The community center, and I always remember you saying, when I come to you and started talking about it, you said, where in the hell is this guy coming from? But anyway. And then the Lewis Avenue Bridge, and the Veterans Memorial Building, it's going to be done right, and everything you touched was done right. You had an eye for talent. You put together a great management team, and I really appreciated that, and they worked together with you. And team was the thing. Before you came, there was no teamwork, like Ray said. We were splintered, and you stressed teamwork and put a team together, and we appreciated it. You always credit the council for putting reserves away, but it was you really that insisted that we, in good times, we put money away, and that's the reason we're still able to maintain services today. Wade, I wish you the best in your new job. I know you'll do great, I just want to say good luck to you, and again, I consider you a friend. Thank you.
Thank you. We now invite Vicki Jansen from Assemblyman Kacho Ashajian's office, representing the Senate and the Assembly of the State of California. Welcome, Vicki.
Thank you very much for inviting us here tonight. Wade, and that's very appreciative. I have today a California State Legislature Certificate of Recognition, and I'd like to read just in part from that resolution. Whereas Wade G. McKinney swiftly and efficiently led a relocation of city operations after the 2003 San Simeon earthquake, restarting the city operations after only 1 week, and led efforts for the rehabilitation of the damaged historic city hall, and I'm going to put my glasses on so I can actually see this better. Whereas through the leadership of Wade G. McKinney, Atascadero has become a city capable of standing firm in the face of changing economic and political winds. Now, therefore, be it resolved, recognized by Senator Bill Monning and Assemblymember Kacho Ashajian, that Wade G. McKinney be commended for his service to the city of Atascadero and San Luis Obispo County and enjoy continued success as the newly appointed city manager of Indian Wells.
We're going to have an opportunity for everyone to come forward at the end of this, and we're going to do a photo opportunity, but we allow leeway with whatever folks would like to do at this time. Thank you, Vicki, for being here. I will now invite our 5th District Supervisor, Debbie Arnold. Welcome.
Thank you. Wade, this is hard for me to think that you're going to be moving down to Indian Wells, but I know about the grandparent thing and how magnetic that is, so I know I'm excited for you. Never having been a resident of the city of Atascadero, but for so many years I had my business here, and this was our town, and that our children were raised here, and we coached sports, youth sports here, Steve and I, and we've always, always appreciated you and what you've done for the city here in Atascadero. And I, too, Vicki and I were trying to decide the few little things we did want to read off these resolutions to you before you left, Wade. So, whereas Wade McKinney has served Atascadero as city manager since August 1997, dedicating his expertise and tireless efforts towards enhancing the quality of life in Atascadero. And whereas under the leadership of Wade McKinney, the rehabilitation of the historic City Hall, which was severely damaged in the San Simeon earthquake, is now drawing to an end and will be celebrated with the reopening in August of 2013. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the County of San Luis Obispo Board of Supervisors...
...the years, not only working in Sacramento and in Atascadero, many awards have been received by Mr. McKinney, so you will see some of those going through. And there are a couple of more events planned for Mr. McKinney with staff and community members during this week, so you won't find as many folks coming out tonight because we have some other activities scheduled. And what we've done is put together a few things that the council would like to read, and we wrote it out. I'm going to be reading mine because it's going to be tough just to get through some of these things. Normally I could ad-lib pretty good, but it's a true loss for us. So I'm going to ask council, going from my right to my left, we're going to read some of the history with Wade. Then we'll come back through again, and it may just be a one word, a one liner. We will share some other thoughts that we may have. So I'm going to begin with Heather.
Wade McKinney has served the city of Atascadero as city manager since August of 1997. And since that time, he has tirelessly dedicated his efforts towards enhancing the quality of life for the citizens of Atascadero. Wade McKinney came to us from Shafter, where he served as city manager for 11 years. Prior to that, he was the assistant city manager in the city of Taft, having been appointed to that position while serving as their planning and building director. Wade graduated from Cal Poly Pomona, where he majored and received his bachelor's degree in planning. McKinney began his career in public service as a city planner.
Wade's accomplishments while serving the citizens of Atascadero have been many. He initiated Atascadero's strategic planning program in 1998, which we still use today, and which focuses city staff on the city council's top priorities and helps to capitalize on opportunities. In addition, Wade implemented a strong financial planning program under the direction of the City Council, which helped to guide the city from a position of very low reserves in 1997 to a high of $11 million plus in reserves, which has been crucial to the city's survival during the economic downturn in recent years.
Wade implemented a collaborative management program that strongly emphasizes employee participation toward the common goal of providing quality public services and exemplary customer service to the community. Wade has led by example, demonstrating the highest caliber of integrity, enthusiasm, and commitment to public rehabilitation of the historic City Hall building, which was severely damaged in the San Simeon earthquake, is now drawing to an end and will be celebrated with the grand reopening in August, which we all look forward to with great anticipation.
A few of the other major projects that have come to fruition during his tenure here in Atascadero include the Sunken Gardens revitalization, the new Lewis Avenue Bridge, a critical disaster response trailer, business stimulus programs, volunteers and police service program, and streamlining the city's permit processes. Wade is a credentialed manager with the International City Management Association and currently serves as president of the California City Management Foundation, the CCMF, and received the CCMF 2011 Award for Outstanding Service to the Profession. In collaboration with the League of California Cities, he implemented CCMF's Strong Cities, Strong State initiative, which highlights the positive impact and successes of California cities, with Atascadero as the first featured city in 2011.
Wade has been an active community member of Atascadero, being a member of the Atascadero Rotary Club, the Atascadero Elks, and the Atascadero Bible Church. and having been awarded the Citizen of the Year in 2009 by the Atascadero Chamber of Commerce for his efforts towards community building and service. Through the leadership of Wade, Atascadero has become a solid organization capable of withstanding political and economic change and is well positioned for a bright and prosperous future.
Thank you. I would just allow any council members to make any comments that they would choose. Go ahead and use your lights if you'd like. I'll just call upon. And we have Councilman Fonzie, followed by Councilman Kelly.
Wade, we've been told to be brief, so we will. We're going to miss you. You have been such an asset to the city. It's hard to believe that you're leaving us. You know, I know you're not perfect, but you've been doggone good. Thank you.
Wade, I don't understand. You have the toughest job in the world trying to keep five different people happy at the same time who all have, for the most part, different ideas. I don't know how many times I've walked out of City Hall wondering, how does this guy do it? And two, why does he want to do it? And I think the why is because of your dedication to the job. And it certainly shows your dedication with the situation that we're in today. Even through tough economic times, we're doing okay. I want to thank you for your services and wish you the best in Indian Wells. And hopefully we'll be down to visit someday.
Your level of professionalism and how you lead the city. And then I go to the League of California Cities, and then I go to a USC Executive Education Conference, and then I just come back from the Joint Powers Insurance Authority. And every single session that we have on city council, city manager relations, how the city manager should be interacting with council, how he or she should be leading, you know, staff, taking a strategy top down. I mean, everything they say is the ideal of what a city manager should do. It's like they're talking about you. So I've gone to all of these trainings and I think, wow, how lucky I am in just, you know, 6 months on council to have experienced that expertise and the professionalism that you bring. And I'm going to miss you, Wade McKinney.
Well, I'm still in denial, so I will probably say the least. Hopefully I'll say more on Thursday when we get to join you for lunch. But you truly have been a friend to me, and in 16 years of being on council, you've really invested a lot in every council member. You have really tried to help each council member be the best that they could be, just like you've worked with the management team. And part of why we are less panicked about your departure is we have a very strong management team of six persons that are well equipped to continue on. Every key critical function of our city has very strong leadership, and that wouldn't have happened had you not been there to mentor and train over a long period of time. I know they always had confidence in you. It's a little tough for them to kind of step up and let go, but we as a council have confidence in them because you've mentored us on this relationship. And it's tough for us as council members. When you come on to council, most of us have a strong desire to really do a lot of stuff. We are so excited to do stuff, and the first thing Wade told me is, you don't have any money. But it's great, but then to work together, to have I don't know of any other city that has more alignment with the community, the council, and the staff to really work together to accomplish really our community goals. That is very unique, I think, around the state, and it's something we can all take great pride in, and I just thank you for that. Just humble commitment you've had in our community and really given just a lot of yourself and really holding back. I would have to ask Wade now and then, just tell me how it really is, and he'd give me some constructive criticism for myself. But he went the extra mile is what I will say for my last word. Thank you, Mr. McKinney. I'm going to ask that the council join me in the front of the dais. I would also ask Next item on the agenda is our consent calendar. Is there any member of the council wishing to pull an item or comment on an item?
I would like to pull item number 4.
Okay. Any member of the public wishing to pull an item for discussion or comment? Seeing none, I would entertain a motion for the remaining items on the consent calendar.
So moved.
Second.
A motion by Mayor Pro Tem Sturtevant and seconded by Councilman Kelly for consent calendar items number 1, 2, 3, and that is it. And Fonzie.
Yes, I was just hoping that I could get a little extra information on what this project would entail from our city engineer.
Yeah, I'd be happy to give you a little background about it. This microsurfacing is a product, an asphalt product. It's basically the same type of material that Caltrans used on Morrow Road from here out towards Chicago Grade Landfill and out towards Creston. It's kind of it's more than a slurry seal, but it's not quite an overlay. So it's a kind of a hybrid new product. It's an asphalt emulsion that has some sand and small aggregate in it. So it helps. Definitely, it's a pavement preservation material. So this project is funded by Proposition 1B funds that we received. We have about a $415,000 grant, Prop 1B grant from the state. The extents of the project will be on El Camino Real from basically the Vons Shopping Center, the signal there in front of Vons where Caltrans left off, down towards or to Santa Rosa Road. That was our original project area. We also bid the San Luis Avenue there in front of Waste Management and then around on Pueblo by Mission Community Bank to El Camino. So that stretch of road there is included. Separate funding, that's gas tax funding. And then we're also doing the Apple Valley Estates as part of their assessment district funding and the fees that those homeowners pay. This will be paid for out of their project. We packaged all of those areas together to get a larger project, because larger projects will tend to drive the unit cost down. So we got a great bid, got 4 bids from firms that do this type of work, got an outstanding bid from American Asphalt, and based on their bid, we're going to be able to expand the project and do cover, you know, more of El Camino Real than we originally had hoped for. So I think at a minimum, we'll be able to extend it as it shows on the screen up there. It's a little tough to see, but we're sure, without getting into the contingency amount, that with the additional funds, we should be able to go from Santa Rosa down to El Bordo, the road there that goes out to the golf course. Depending on how the project goes, if we have that squiggly line, but that's a good necessary step to take before you put something down like a microsurface.
So what's the time frame for this?
We hope to be starting just after cruise night. So if they have some other work in the area, so if they can guarantee us they'll be done before cruise night, we'll start, but otherwise we'll start right after cruise night and before we get into the winter rains.
Very good. Sounds like a great project. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other council comments on this? And I will open it to the public. Seeing none, any member of the public wishing to comment on this item? Seeing no one approach, we'll close public. Councilman Fonzie, comment and motion, perhaps?
I would like to make a motion that we approve item number 4 of the consent calendar.
A second.
Thank you. We have a motion by Councilman Fonzie, seconded by Councilman Kelly. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Fonzie?
Yes.
Councilmember Kelly?
Yes.
Councilmember Moreno?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Sturtevant?
Yes.
Mayor O'Malley?
Yes.
5-0, motion passes.
Thank you. And for the last time, updates from the city manager, Wade McKinney.
Mayor and Council, thank you. Wow. I'm pretty good. Excited about these updates, and I'll make a couple of final comments. But
The downtown wayfinding signs that we've had now in our possession for quite some time, Weissong Construction, Larry Weissong, donated the services and has installed those. And those signs look really terrific. Trafficway shops and shops on Entrada, the signs. They were purchased originally by the redevelopment agency before it was dissolved by the governor. We had, in an effort to try to save funds, we had divided it up because the sign makers didn't install signs and sign installers didn't make signs, and we were, in by doing one bid, forcing the other to cover the other contract, and bid prices were high. So we bought the signs, and then we were going to have them installed, and before we could get them installed, the dissolution occurred, and we missed that opportunity. The four kiosk signs will soon have maps and directories for the businesses located on the street, and Main Street's going to be responsible for keeping the directories up to date. We can't thank Larry enough. He's reached out to the community a bunch of times. I thought he was kidding originally when he said he was going to go ahead and put in these wayfinding signs. So we got, and the charging station will provide a 50% battery charge in just 20 minutes.
Wow.
So don't lick your fingers and stick them on that terminal there. The 8 charging stations will soon be operational and bring more patrons to our downtown as they recharge their cars. The station's located at Robert Bank right there next to Denny's, so we're really excited about that. I just wanted to add a couple of final comments. Atascadero has been a wonderful place for Cheryl and I and our kids to live and work. We have many great friends and fond memories. We've had just some really exciting times. We're really lucky in joining the city that Rochelle Rickard was already here. Actually, thanks to my predecessor, Andy Takata, he actually got us into the Killer Bees program so that we started recovering that Orange County money. So the sort of the ball started rolling. We were certainly in bad places. I came from the Central Valley, and in the Central Valley, we have these visions of the Central Coast. You guys are located next to the college. You're on the Central Coast right there on 101. Everything's going to be lined with gold. There's technology everywhere. All of these things are going to happen. And I came to Atascadero, and there wasn't even a computer in my office. I thought, wow, things are a little different than I had thought. I first looked at Atascadero and thought Brady Cherry gave me a tour and told me about the city, and he first told me that he would answer any question I'd ask, but he's not going to show me anything I didn't ask about. So I was trying to outguess and try to figure what questions he was talking about that I really should have seen, and I learned many of those my first week. That first council led by Ray Johnson, Jerry Clay was on. I'd call Jerry more than a friend. There is lots of times, and there's been lots of council members through my career, but Jerry was one of those. He'd take me under his wing and remind me what I was supposed to be doing, or, you know, call and say, you know, did you send a kid to summer camp this year, or what are you doing, Wade? You know, you got to participate in our community. But Ray and that first council, they had a lot of work to do to earn the community's trust and earn the employees' trust. We were a pretty injured place, not only financially, but culturally. It was a very tough time. And I think you forget about some of those little things as I was reflecting back on my time, and people have been asking me questions. Rochelle and I actually sat down and went through every receipt for the previous 3 years of every expense the city had. Was really terrific, but that Steve Kahn led most of that effort. You know, I really had such great people to work with. And when we talk about those reserves, I appreciate Jerry's comments. I certainly lived, like many of you, through lots of these cycles with cities, and so I've seen a lot of bus cycles too, and I know how to keep the city afloat. But that the hard decisions land with you guys. Because it's not me getting caught in the grocery store, although I do every week, or at church, but you guys that have to make those hard decisions. I only have to recommend them, and I got to keep prodding, but it's really you guys that are facing your neighbors and deciding where each of those dollars lead. You know, I really believe that our organization and really our management team has been Christ-led. I think that this is an exceptionally strong group of people. There are leaders in every rank, every department, every level in our organization. And I'm proud to say that we conducted a few of those leadership academies where we talked about things. In fact, many of you spoke at them for us. We talked about things that were important to you from strategic planning. And those people that were really in that first group are your department heads today. Those people were Rochelle Rickard and Warren Frace, Jerry Rangel. Those are people that are the folks, Marcia, that were in the leadership academies that we grew. And I really think that we built our people. You guys, you know, each of you have come to council. I know when Jerry Clay was here when I started, but, you know, every time you think of the big players in the city council, you know, Ray Johnson has always been the statesman. Hal Carden had such high expectations that you knew you could, you almost didn't want to see him coming. Until recently when he was at the wine festival, he was a much nicer guy, but that guy had very high expectations. And Jerry Clay, he wanted youth stuff, and he wanted it done now. I tried to take him over to my previous digs in the Central Valley and show him sorts of youth centers we could do, and he was saying, Wade, we got to have a youth center now. And I don't care if it's the Hay and Feed or the Masonic Lodge or a brand new one. I want to have one. And so we worked hard with Jerry Clay. Certainly, with each of you coming to the council, and Tom O'Malley came to the council, we did not know we could belong to that many groups more. And Bob, your assistants on the hotel, and you and Rochelle are two of the biggest penny pinchers I've worked with and for in my career. And I appreciate, I don't think the community knows the efforts that you guys go to in your daily lives and the sacrifices you've made. I'm sure I've told many of you the story. I had a really great mayor in my early times, and he made a city decision, which I clearly think was the best decision, and it turned out really good for the city. But he personally sacrificed in making that decision, where lifelong friends ostracized him. And I know that you guys have had lifelong friends question your decisions. Why would you do this, or why would you do that, or why do you stand for those things? And we really appreciate, as employees and as community members of your community, those efforts you've made. Brian, I've told you, you're one of the two most honest council members I've worked for in my career. You are always the same guy, and you stand for what Brian stands for, and I really think that's terrific, and you really need, you're a great example to all of us. And Heather, I mentioned to you, you've asked the best financial questions of my career. Rochelle and I looked at you at the finance committee with a little bit of puzzlement, because nobody's actually asked those questions. And I was thinking, that was in the finance committee, Heather actually tied us back as we were presenting our budget numbers. She said, okay, well, and how does this relate to the comprehensive financial strategy you presented in January? Where were those balances work in, and which page are they on? I'm thinking, wow, somebody read, I thought only Ray Johnson read the comprehensive financial strategy because he helped us write it. And Heather actually had a lot of those great questions. You know, our department head team is first rate. Rochelle was my first appointment as a department head. She has been with me through every single project. I'd love to take credit for the rotunda. She has been the bomb. Anybody inside this building, I'll tell you, that is Rochelle's building. When we had that earthquake, I called a bunch of my city manager buddies and said, you know, what did you guys do? And they said, you know, get finance involved, buy a whole bunch of file cabinets, and get ready for an audit. So that's exactly what we've done, and that's they're saying it's strategic planning, and they know how that works in their operation. In the fire department, that is really, really, really true. And it's true now of the police department, but it is really true in the fire department. Kurt, you are a supreme manager there. Warren Frace, nobody knows what a strategist Warren is. I told him if he would talk more, we would all be smarter, because we would hear stuff. that he says. That guy, we all know he gives the best staff reports of any council meeting. But if you remember some of the work, Warren was our senior planner for a long time, and he carried the director through those years. In fact, I told him if he didn't take the job, I would point another director like that, and he would have to carry another one. So he went ahead and took the job. But remember, Warren practically wrote the general plan single-handedly. We were about down to Warren as staff to do that general plan. So those cities that, you know, a typical general plan is some $300,000. We budgeted heavy. We put $100,000 into it, and Warren wrote it. We really, I think that we had 58 meetings. We had, if you remember, we had meetings three a night across town so that we could cover the whole town several different times. Russ, of course, is brought a new private sector excitement and energy to us. He's our most charismatic department head. I don't mean that, you guys. He's really great. But Russ has been great for us, and Gerald Haley is, in fact, the best police chief. He's the bomb. I've been hiring police chiefs a lot of my career, and Gerald is my best. And we very much appreciate that you're here in Atascadero. He took to the job like a duck to water. He's been terrific all along, and I know all of you guys have really great things to say about him. And, of course, Marcia is really the glue that keeps us all together. There is probably no one in Atascadero that she hasn't solved at least one problem for. And certainly she solved a bunch of them for me. And she does it with a smile. She doesn't make you mad, even when she tells you no. Well, sometimes she makes you mad. But, Marcia, thank you very much. There's so many leaders throughout the organization. I was thinking about telling some stories or naming them. I can't. There are so many. This is a great staff, a great community. I have so many wonderful friends and great networks. We just really appreciate it, and we appreciate everything you guys have done for us.
Opportunity for anyone to speak on anything not on the agenda. Welcome, first speaker.
Yes, City Council. My name is Pastor Tom Farrell from Atascadero Bible Church, and I just really count it an honor to be here tonight. Would add to just what a privilege it's been to know Wade through the years. And Wade, you just need to know that usually you have to die to have people say this many nice things about you. And when that happens, you don't get to talk. So you're really in, you had a real treat tonight. So Wade and I have a lot in common. We have the same haircut. We're about the same age, and we are fairly new grandparents, and so it gets obnoxious. We're both very obnoxious about that. So, but congratulations to you, Wade, in terms of just the opportunity that's before you. We're going to really miss you, obviously. And, you know, I think you can measure someone's effectiveness by the people who work for them. And everyone that I've ever met, and I've known some very well that have worked very closely with Wade, and they speak so highly of you. And, you know, your role, all of your roles are you're called public servants. And I think that comes from the top. And you have been a great example of serving this community, being a great public servant. I think you have served your staff well, prepared them well. And when I talked to you last week, you know, and you looked me in the eye and said, Tom, Atascadero is going to be fine. We got a great leadership team. He meant that with his whole heart. I could tell. He wasn't just saying it. He really means it. So just to all of you who will carry on, you know, you're a great team, and I hope you continue that willingness to serve this community, because that's really what it is all about. And God thinks that's great too, by the way, to be a servant. His son was one, a great one. So let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for this time that we've been able to just even recognize the heroism of a person driving through our community and really saving a life, and then reflecting on 16 years of service for somebody that has cared deeply about this community and done so much for this community that we really love. We just want to say thank you. Thank you for that. And I just want to pray a blessing on Wade in his future. And God, the things before him, grateful that he can be near his grandchildren and spend that time, particularly for his wife, Cheryl, as it's just so meaningful in that regard as well. So we're grateful for that opportunity. And for this city, and Lord, keep them grounded as well as to their calling and what they're here to do as well. And so we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you. And as I had said earlier on our agenda, I have asked at this time, I'm going to turn over to Councilman Clay. Chuck, if we could just insert in a 4th of July item first. It's going to take a little extra time, and then we'll head right on out. So, Councilman Clay, if you'd like to do a little introduction, we'll kind of allow Councilman Kelly to take it away in there, and then we'll open up to public comment on the 4th of July activity, if anyone else would add. But I'm going to intro Jerry by, who used to always tell me, it only takes one person, Jerry would always tell me. Yeah. And that's what we had with the 4th of July. I think your inspiration and desire to have that homegrown event, and Councilman Kelly continuing on with you on that for a couple of years now, that's why it's going to happen. And so thank you both for your work, and give us an update.
I will, and what I did say is everything starts with one person, by the way. But I need to say something about Wade, too, because when he took me to Sacramento, and after we did all our little things that we're supposed to do as city council members, he said, hey, I want to take you to this little club. He said, they got a great band. And we went there, and the only one seat was right up against the orchestra, the band, and I mean, they were hard rock. I mean, this was bad. And I still have this ringing in the ear. So I will constantly be thinking about Wade because I have this ringing in my right ear from that band. It was terrible, folks, I'm telling you. And the other thing about Wade, he's got this tricky little way of saying, you know, making like everybody else is doing it, not him. And really, he's the pusher behind it. I've never heard him say I. You know, it's always we or us or the council or the management team. So, and those are really good qualities, you know. And sometimes us folks get caught up saying I a little too much, and I never heard Wade say I one time. Getting back to the 4th of July celebration. All right. Well, listen, we're just happy that we're doing it. And it all started, we just about, you know, zeroed out the first year. And Alfonsi stepped up and said, hey, they roll up the sidewalks on the 4th of July in Atascadero. We need to do something. And we got the council behind us, and we had a great 4th of July celebration last year. 1,500 to 2,000 people went through the zoo. The zoo will be free this year, just like doing a great job. We had a great meeting with our committee. Everybody was enthusiastic. And what I'm going to ask Bob to do when I sit down here is go over the agenda. It's massive. It ends up with two free movies at the Galaxy Theater, one at 4 and one at 6 for the kiddies. I mean, good heavens, there's so much nice stuff going on. So anyway, come on out. It's going to be great. The reason we started this is we want to keep our folks at home, and we want to bring a few people in here. So that's what we're doing. And, Bob, lay it on them. Thank you.
That's a nice segue for you, Bob. Take it away. Live up to that.
Hey, well, thank you, Jerry. Well, last year was a great event. It involved a whole bunch of work of initiating the celebration for the 4th of July in the Lake Park. Back in the late 70s and early 80s, it was quite an event here in Atascadero, probably one of the premier events after the Fireman's Ball. I would say the 4th of July at the park was really quite a event to go to. This year, I think, is even going to be bigger and better. We actually have people that are contacting us that want to be participants in the event. I'll just kind of run through the schedule here and real quick. At 7 a.m., the Kennedy Fitness Center will be sponsoring a fun run, and that'll be the sign-up at 7 o'clock. There'll be a 5K, 10K, and a one-mile run. And the Lions Club will have a pancake breakfast that'll begin at 7 o'clock. At 7:30, over by the Veterans Memorial, there'll be a flag rally, followed at 7:45 by a flag and sign ceremony. There's a new sign there for the Lake Park and the Veterans Memorial. And that'll be dedicated. I believe the mayor will be there at 7:45 to give a speech. I'm waiting for the unveiling of it. I go by there wondering what's underneath it, and I'm sure it'll be just another great thing for the Veterans Memorial and the Lake Park over there for our city. And then at 8 o'clock, the fun runs will begin. At 10 o'clock, the Charles Paddock Zoo will be open, and once again, admission to the zoo will be free. Last year, we had between 1,500 and 2,000 people that were able to go to the zoo. Well, this is a great event. There were a lot of young families in town that were able to take their kids through the zoo that may not be able to pay the price during the season, so that was really a nice thing to have. And then at 10:30, the food booths will open up. There'll be the Kiwanis Club, Lions Club, and the Moose Lodge will be having food booths, along with some other miscellaneous vendors that have signed up to do that. 10:30, we'll have some kid games in the park. And then at 10:30, also, we'll have Andy McBean will be back with his antique carousel, which was a big hit last year. The Atascadero Elks Lodge will have Joe's little train there again in the park. I think we're going to have three bounce houses in the park, and there'll be pony rides available. And then at 5 o'clock over at the Galaxy Theater, we'll have free movies again. At 5 o'clock, it'll be Ben and Me and Johnny Tremaine. And then at 6 o'clock, there'll be the movie The Crossing. So we have a full day of events in Atascadero, and I hope everybody from throughout the county will come and visit us. Almost everything will be free except for the food and so I think the bouncy houses, but after that everything will be free. So I know some members of the city council will be out there helping, and city staff has been very cooperative in putting the event together this year. So I want to thank everybody for their help, and we look forward to seeing you on the 4th.
Very good. Thank you. I do want to, well, of course, well, there's one more comment by Councilman. Well,
I think the first movie starts at 4.
4 o'clock.
Four and six. You said 5.
Okay, yes. Thanks. Yeah.
If they come at 5, they're going to be late.
Okay. My first mistake today. Yes.
Well, everyone's entitled to one mistake. That was right, it. Right. I do want to announce that Assemblyman Kachua Shazian is the one that is sponsoring the zoo this year. We are keeping with our goal to have a full cost recovery and on all of our operations in the city. Kachua Shazian has stepped up this year as paying the cost to operate the zoo for a day, and so everyone may come from 10 to 6, no cost, compliments of our Assemblyman. So we thank Kacho for that. We'll continue on with public comment now. Welcome. Chuck, you also have an event coming up here on July 2nd.
Yes, yes, I do, Mr. Mayor, member of the City Council. My name is Chuck Ward. I'm a citizen of Atascadero. I might say a proud citizen of Atascadero. Atascadero, California, and the United States of America is unique among nations because, as a country, we have actually two birthdays. There's the birthday when the Second Continental Congress voted to separate from England. And that took place on July 2nd, 1776. 2 days later, they put this in the right form. It went off to a printer, got printed up. And 2 months later, they rounded up all the 56 delegates, and they signed it. And that's what you see in the music for a half hour as everybody's being seated. We then, at 10 o'clock, I kick off the ceremony with an invocation by our national chaplain, Bill Houston. We have the posting of the colors by the Leatherneck Honor Guard. And then we're privileged to have Mayor Tom O'Malley lead several hundred people in the Pledge of Allegiance. Tom, you're going to be in good voice. Next, we're having the singing of the National Anthem and the playing by the Morro Bay Whitecap Band. Next, I'm going to acknowledge some of the VIPs and important people that are there, including you folks. Next, I'll be introducing Congresswoman Lois Capps, who will be making the presentation to the three winners of the Patriotic Essay Writing Contest we've had for Atascadero High School. We're all excited about that. After that, the band's going to play a medley of traditional service songs. After that, the incoming Commander-in-Chief of the National Military Order of the World Wars is going to read a proclamation where this monument is going on the National Registry of Monuments and Memorials maintained by the Military Order of the World Wars, and we understand this is the only one outside of Washington, D.C. Sam Blakesley is our keynote speaker, and he's got a wonderful presentation. After that, the band's going to play some peppy music. It's a grand old flag and Yankee Doodle Dandy. Then we're going to unveil the four bronze plaques. The band will then play, and we have a singer who will belt out God Bless America as everybody sings, and that's the end of the program. So you're all welcome. 10 o'clock this coming Tuesday.
Where's it at?
Well, it's here in the city of Atascadero, right adjacent from the Galaxy Theater.
Thank you.
And Tom, you're going to be in good voice that day.
I'm sure I will.
And I know you won't need a script, okay?
I think I have it memorized. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Welcome. Next speaker.
Good evening. Linda Hindy, Atascadero Chamber of Commerce. I think Wade is way too modest. I think we have a lot we owe to you. You're leaving this city in beautiful shape. A sign of a great leader is somebody that actually mentors and supports their staff and their council, and I think you should be extremely proud of that.
I decided to close my downtown business, Tuesday's Jewels, which I had for 12 years. I did that because I felt a very strong calling to help the animals in this community, and I wanted to make you aware of a thrift shop that I'm opening. We'll be opening July 1st, and we will be donating a major portion of our profits to better the lives of the animals in our community. We'll be supporting local nonprofits, helping to support them in their work to help animals. And I just wanted to make all of you aware of that. We're going to have very high-end things. A lot of the things that were available at my shop will now be sold to help the animals. And I just wanted to make everyone aware of that. Thank you very much for your time.
Rachel, don't leave yet. You didn't mention the name of your new...
Oh, that's true. I didn't. The name of my shop is called Cause for Paws, P-A-W-S. We're going to be at 4303 El Camino Real, which is across the street from Kmart. Our signs are going up Friday. So we'll be open next Monday, and I hope to see any and all of you there.
Very good.
It's going to be very exciting. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Welcome, next speaker.
Can you cue up the Excel spreadsheet leave balance? Thank you. Good evening, Council. My name is Mike Brendler. I'm a 32-year resident of Atascadero. I'm an advocate of responsible government, honest government. And my words tonight won't be as gracious and laced with compliments as the ones we heard earlier. But nonetheless, they are spoken with equal passion. Wade and I, particularly during the period that I was on the council, you know, we bumped heads, and we bumped heads over what I considered some serious issues. They involved integrity in government. And I'm not going to bemoan those tonight. It would probably take me too long. But what I did want to talk about is, you know, that day we all knew was coming is here, and we're faced with a stark reality of what's happening to the community checkbook as related to leave payouts, and that's that spreadsheet that I've typed out earlier today. You know, the grand jury spoke to the issue a couple years back when they spanked Atascadero for having blatantly violated our own personnel rules by allowing the accumulation of a vacation leave beyond the to emphasize what that's 6 months of work days. That's quite a bit. And when you factor in the 50% payout for sick time, you know, that translates to almost $50,000. So, you know, our city manager is leaving this town with somewhere between $133,000 and $137,000. And that's a lot of money. And we spoke earlier about pinching pennies, I think, was the word. Come on. That's not right. So from a standpoint of fiscal responsibility, I think there's been a failure here. And I hope this serves as a backdrop for what I'm going to discuss later when we talk about some contract language in the proposed contract for the new city manager, because I see some glaring issues there that I want to speak to, and I'll hope you take interest in. So thank you.
Thank you. Any other speakers? Seeing no one approach, we'll close public comment. Of course, we addressed this issue in previous budget discussions, and I think most of those issues have been spoken to already. I don't know if you would like to respond briefly or not as chair of the Finance Committee on any of those comments. Our CPA we have on council.
Well, as you said, we did discuss that during our budget session at our last meeting. And in fact, for this fiscal year, we are under budget with overall personnel costs. The way that our administrative services director and the city have gone with their budget is to budget 100% of personnel costs for the year. Some cities don't do that. They assume that, you know, people will leave. We're not going to have to pay out 100% of this. But Atascadero is very conservative and budgets a full 100%. And as such, we end up most years, if not all, being under budget. And this year, even with Wade's payout and some of the others that we had, we've come in under budget. And we are now, as we discussed last time, we have our practice and what's on paper are matching up, and the problem has been brought up and dealt with, and we're moving forward.
That's true. I think it's truly a problem. It is a problem that existed statewide. However, this current sitting council is the one that actually dealt with it for our city and resolved it to not only the grand jury satisfaction, but auditors of just the issue of some. First is remote caller bingo amendment of Title III, Chapter 12 of the Atascadero Municipal Code. And I believe, does Mr. Frace have this?
Tom?
Oh.
I think I may have to step down on this. I'm a member of the Elks Club, and it's a nonprofit organization. I will not benefit any way financially from this, but I think it would be best that I don't get involved in this decision since there are some financial things considered here.
Well, let's ask our city attorney, because even though you're a more active member in Elks, I kind of identify with Kiwanis. I am also a dues-paying Elks member. Is that a reason in itself to step down on this item? Because we certainly would be willing if that's important.
Well, I have considered this item, and it doesn't appear, I mean, I just heard the question being presented to me a little while ago, so I haven't had an opportunity to do a full research on it. It doesn't appear that there would be a financial conflict because there would be no benefit to either you or Councilmember Kelly from it. My understanding is neither of you are board members or serve as officers in the Elks Club. Is that correct?
Correct.
All right. So I don't believe there's a legal conflict, but given that I haven't really had an opportunity to look up the law and confirm that, my recommendation would be I don't think you need to leave the dais, given that I don't see any financial conflict, but my recommendation would be that you not participate in the discussion. You could remain at the dais, not participate in the discussion or vote on the issue.
That sound agreeable to you, Councilman Kelly?
I think that's the best way to go, just to so there's no conflict or anything that might.
Well, there is no conflict, and we will not participate as our choice. Mr. City Attorney, would be all right for I to be a non-directive leader of the discussion, or would you suggest I turn this over to Mayor Pro Tem Sturdivant?
Well, just to be consistent, I think you'd let Councilmember Sturdivant lead the discussion.
Well, Councilman Kelly, and join me in a quiet observation. Mayor Pro Tem Sturdivant, would you take over this item?
I'll be glad to. Quiet, yeah,
this is unique. You will not see Bob or I talk for a while.
Oh, very good. Well, then this is a staff report on the remote caller bingo amendment of Title III, Chapter 12 of the Atascadero Municipal Code. Staff report, please.
Yes, thank you, Mayor and Council. Advancements with bingo games related to the ability to transmit the games over the Internet. So now there's a new sort of bingo, which is called remote caller bingo. And it's called remote caller bingo because the caller of the bingo numbers is no longer in the room. They can be located pretty much anywhere. And the numbers are then piped through the Internet, and then the game's played locally. The concern there is if you don't actually know who's calling the numbers or where they're at, that there's a potential for some sort of fraud to happen in that case. So the state has looked into that issue, and they've adopted new state rules that allow and regulate remote caller bingo to eliminate the potential for any fraud or that sort of thing occurring. So what we're proposing tonight is to update our local bingo rules so that they're the same as the state law, and that would then allow these local organizations to also have the remote caller bingo as well as the on-site bingo at their choice. The benefit of this, and what we've heard from some local organizations, is it's somewhat difficult to organize and administer bingo games within your own facility, and the ability to contract out or use this remote caller bingo is a lot easier to do. They think they can do this more often, and the purpose of them running these sorts of games, a lot of these organizations, is actually to do fundraising for charitable purposes, that sort of thing, that actually would have a community benefit. So we've looked at it at a staff level, don't see any concerns. The police department's looked at it as well. There's no concerns there. So staff is recommending the change. I think there's some representatives from the Elks Lodge that are here that have written a letter in support of it. But staff is recommending the change. This will have to come back for a second reading at your next meeting. So this is an introduction for first reading of the zone change. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Any questions from council? No? No? Then before we open public comment, can we have the representatives from the Elks? Would you like to speak to this issue at all? Or if not, then I'll let you go first.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Lance Erickson. I'm the chairman of the board of the Atascadero Elks Lodge here in Atascadero. I'm the one that wrote the letter to the staff, and I would like to thank you for your cooperation in working with us for the last 3 months trying to get this through. We feel that we could do a very good job, but the results is more money going for the prizes, because we have other lodges playing against other lodges, and they're all nonprofit organizations. So the pots can be as big as a, let's say, the Chumash bingo. So it is possible. This has been tried and true down in the desert. Desert Hot Springs has it. They've had it for approximately 2 years. They were the only lodge in the state that was okayed by the courts to carry a license. And I think the Warren has explained to you that the state has looked into this and doesn't have a problem with it. I thank you.
Thank you. Are there any questions for the applicant? Oh, Councilwoman Fonzie has a question for you.
Lance, yes. Just a quick question, yes, for you. Will your bingo games be open to the public or for Elks members only?
No, absolutely. It is open to the public. That is one thing that we can do. We can open to the public on the day or night that we have the bingo games, and we do want the public to come.
And when do you plan on starting this, assuming that the council does vote for this?
Assuming the council will do it, I think that we could get set up and be able to start in September.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Seeing no other, is there any, we'll open up public comment for this issue. If anyone would like to speak to this, you can approach the lectern. And seeing no one approaching, we'll bring back to council. And questions? Yes.
I just wanted to say that, Director Frace, I thought you did a very good job putting this all together. I feel very comfortable that what's been looked into by the state in terms of, you know, the legalities of it, that we've coincided with that, and all the concerns about possible, you know, somebody taking advantage of. And I think it's done a really good job in putting this together, and so I feel confident going forward, and happy to make a motion if we're ready. Mm-hmm. All right. I move that the council adopt an ordinance of the City Council of the City of Atascadero, California, amending the Atascadero Municipal Code by adding Section 3-12.03 to Chapter 12 of Title 3.
Second.
Motion is made by Council Member Moreno and seconded by Council Member Fonzi. Roll call, please.
Council Member Moreno?
Yes.
Council Member Fonzi?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Sturdivant?
Yes.
3-0, motion passes.
Thank you.
Very good. Thank you. Next public hearing item is B.
Do the three public hearings separately. So back in 2003, the council adopted a policy that said that new development should pay for itself. Part of that policy required developers should put in a mechanism to pay for items such as road maintenance and common landscape areas. The developers have the option of either doing a homeowners association or an assessment district. The developers for Apple Valley, De Anza Estates, and Las Lomas, formerly known as Woodridge, decided to form assessment districts. This is not a general tax to the citizens of Atascadero, it's just for the homeowners in those areas. For the three areas we are discussing tonight, there's a total of six assessment districts. So assessment district law requires that we have two assessment districts on each area, one that covers the landscaping and lighting and one that covers the benefit assessment district or the street and storm drains. So a public hearing must be held annually, which we've done every year since these have been initiated in 2005. And if you'll recall, about a month ago, we had the preliminary reports on these. So that pretty much covers the commonalities for the assessment districts. I'm going to go ahead and go into Apple Valley public hearing. A neighborhood meeting was held to discuss the amount of the levies with the parcel owners there. The parcel or property owners in attendance agreed on the what they thought would be a good levy amount to essentially we have a little bit of extra fund balance in their districts, so we're trying to kind of ease them in to what is appropriate level for their district that will kind of eat up their excess balance. They decided on an annual levy of $750 for the landscape and lighting district and about $600 for the street and storm drain district. And then these amounts will show up on their annual property tax bill for just those owners in the district. And that concludes my report on Apple Valley.
Thank you. And is it your recommendation that we go through these one at a time?
Yes, please.
Very good. Well, excellent staff report, and we'd like you to get full credit. So could you state your name for the record?
Jerry Rangel.
Thank you. Good to have you back here again. First item is ex parte communications. That's where we disclose if we've had, and I see Councilman Moreno.
Thank you. So the $600 a year for the streets and storm drain, that would be part of, I'm assuming, the micro-surfacing that Director Thompson spoke of earlier under the consent calendar? For the Apple Valley, the micro-surfacing is going to be part of that. That's tied together. Okay, so my question, on pages like 85 to 87 of the engineering report, it talks about major repairs that result from unforeseen damages are not reasonably saved for, but they'd be taken care of with a new assessment. And so I'm wondering, how does that work? How is it feasible with the maximum assessment compared to, you know, some major repair that needs to be happened? What is that funding mechanism? And is it still the responsibility of the property owners, or does the city somehow get wrapped up into that?
Well, at this point in time, we have a pretty good balance in each one of these districts. We were pretty fortunate when it was established, the developer actually paid in at the beginning, and then the assessment district was continuing as well. So we have a little bit of fund balance available. This particular district, well, benefit assessment districts in general, they are tend to be kind of save up for a big expenditure later on. So we've been pretty good about keeping the costs down. Russ and his team have been good managing the contractors over there. So if in the event that something very major came up, assuming it's not a liability issue that, you know, some other person caused, I believe it would be able to be maintained within the district boundaries, within the budget.
Okay, and so even if it wasn't covered by the balance that was there, there would be a mechanism for an additional assessment? Is that?
The assessment that we have here, we increase it to a maximum of 3% or CPI every year. That's the maximum assessment. This particular assessment is about
95% of the max assessment. So if we needed to, we could up it a little bit and kind of use our fund balance to pay for that, as long as it was something that was covered within the boundaries of the assessment district.
Okay. So, I mean, do we see any potential of something happening so significant that that fund balance wouldn't cover it, and then there's not money to take care of something that needed to be taken care of right away? I don't know what that might be. I just, in reading that engineer's report, I thought, oh, well, what might that be? And it kind of specifically says they're not reasonably saved for, but it seems like we kind of are saving.
Those types of projects are still funded.
Okay.
You know, I think that extraordinary situation of, let's say, I don't even know, you know, if there was an earthquake and a sinkhole was developed and it cost, you know, $500,000 or $1 million to fix it, there's a means that those property owners could be assessed to fix mm-hmm. that part of their development, and it would incur an additional assessment for something extraordinary. But
in that case, there would probably be some insurance that either the development or something would have that would cover something like that.
It depends on what the cause was and if it's an act of God. But
okay.
So
it seems like we are reasonably saving for, even though the report, not your report, but the engineers, the outside engineer kind of says it's not reasonable to save for, but we actually are being, I mean, fiscally in that sense, conservative, and the homeowners have decided to be so and save for those potentials down the road of road replacement or something.
Normal maintenance, normal replacement is all part of the funded program.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Councilman Kelly.
Russ, I know in homeowners associations, the good ones, they have a structure where there's money put in reserves because, as you mentioned earlier, in 10, 20 years, the road will probably require some significant repairs. Is there any way in the programs that we have here where reserves can be, a reserve program can be put in place? Because in the future, you will need large sums of money to make major repairs.
Well, I think, and Jerry may input on how much, but there is a reserve fund for deferred maintenance. So there's money being set aside in addition to just the normal operation of, you know, hiring the contractor to take care of the landscaping, the irrigation, and the storm drain. So there are funds being set aside for those programmed improvements.
I know I had a piece of property where there was a HOA, and they actually had a program that, you know, this thing would last for 5 years, and they anticipated a cost in 5 years was so much, 10 years was so much, 20 years was so much, and part of the HOA fees, a certain percentage of that was put into these accounts, so you would kind of stay even, and the normal repair could take place. And it was a pretty good program. And actually, it really added value to the properties that the HOA was had money in there to operate, and that you couldn't get stuck, say, with an extra assessment down the road, say something should happen. But that reserve program was pretty good. I don't know if that might be something we might want to look at in the future to structure.
Councilman Fonzie, seconded by Mayor Pro Tem Sturtevant. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Fonzie?
Yes.
Councilmember Moreno?
Yes.
Councilmember Kelly?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Sturtevant?
Yes.
Mayor O'Malley?
Yes.
5-0, motion passes.
Thank you. Item 3?
Item 3 is De Anza Estates. It's similar to Apple Valley in that we held the similar neighborhood meeting with the residents of this district. The owners in this district agreed to a $250 landscape and lighting district levy. Now, this is pretty minimal. They have, Council Member Kelly was saying, referring to the reserves, they have a significant reserve in their landscape and lighting district. So they did go a little bit lower on there. They're kind of easing their way up on that one. The senior units there are about $360, and the other single-family homes are about $712 for the street and storm drain districts. And this concludes my report on De Anza.
Thank you. And again, we've already dispensed with ex parte. There have been none. Any council questions? Councilwoman Moreno.
Is it Caltrans who is responsible for inspecting the two bridges that are in that?
No, they're actually not. One of the bridges is not in this district. It's in the HOA for the senior units.
Okay.
And the other bridge that goes kind of closer to Home Depot is in this district. Mr. Thompson, maybe you'd like to address that bridge.
We have as part of the road maintenance benefit assessment district, we had hired a structural engineer to evaluate the bridge. We did ask Caltrans to consider inspecting the bridges. They actually have inspected the bridge subsequent to our hiring that engineer. They did last year inspect the bridge over the railroad tracks.
Okay, and that's the one that's in the assessment district?
Yes.
That's, okay. So those get inspected annually or biannually?
Caltrans, for bridges that Caltrans inspects, they do it either every 2 years, or some of the newer ones they go every 4 years.
Okay. And so that one that they will continue to look at?
I'm going to continue to, I want to make sure it's clear to them
yeah.
that it's in a public right-of-way, but it's not publicly maintained, so mm-hmm. to make sure that there's no misunderstanding.
Okay. Thank you.
What your question would
be. Well,
you
know what they say about assuming. It posed a question to me because that we had some issues with that.
Let me clarify with you, Mr. Brindler. If it's not that bridge, you don't have a question, and if it is, you have a question?
Yes.
Well, then let's assume that it is and go ahead with your question.
Is it,
and then we'll...
Well, that was the bridge that previously there were some concerns about it not having been properly finaled. So I was just curious if this new inspection process had something to do with that.
Okay.
And the other issue actually pertains to the previous matter as well, but I was curious when these maintenance issues such as road drainage system maintenance and landscape or lightning maintenance is necessary, is the city the one that makes determination as to who is selected as a contractor, or does the people that actually pay these fees, do they participate in the decision-making process about who is selected?
Okay.
I'm hoping that can be answered. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions from the public? Seeing none, we'll close public comment. Let's see if we could have staff address those questions.
Yes, the bridge that Caltrans inspected is the bridge over the railroad tracks. As far as the other question he was asking.
Just the question, is it safe today? And is it final?
Yes.
Okay. And as far as the second question, who makes the decision of hiring folks to do any work required?
The City Public Works Department administers the contracts for maintenance of the landscape and the road repairs. We put out RFPs and retain those services in accordance with the city's purchasing policies, just like we would any public works project.
Very good. Thank you. Any other council questions or comments on this, or I would entertain a motion.
I make a motion that we accept staff's recommendation for De Anza Estates, resolutions A, B, C, and D.
Second.
I have a motion by Mayor Pro Tem Sturdivant, seconded by Councilwoman Moreno. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Moreno?
Yes.
Councilmember Fonzie?
Yes.
Councilmember Kelly?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Sturdivant?
Yes.
Mayor O'Malley?
Yes.
5-0, motion passes.
Thank you. Moving on to item 4, Woodridge Las Lomas Assessment Districts.
Thank you, Mayor. I preferred to kind of keep it on the books, if you will, so that it shows up and they kind of keep it running with their property tax bill. And that concludes my report on Las Lomas.
Thank you. We have council questions. Councilwoman Fonzie.
Yes, Jerry, does this include the new apartments that are going in nearby?
Yes, it does.
Okay, very good. And I understand that there's some new homes that are being built behind that. Those are also within that district boundary?
Yes, they are.
Very good. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Other council questions? Seeing none, I'll open up to the public. Any public questions or comments? Seeing no one approach, we'll close public comment, bring it back to council for questions, deliberation, or a motion on item 4.
I'll make the motion that council adopt resolutions A, B, C, and D as it relates to the Las Lomas Assessment Districts.
Second.
I have a motion by Councilwoman Moreno, seconded by Mayor Pro Tem Sturdivant. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Moreno?
Yes.
Councilmember Kelly?
Yes.
Councilmember Ponzi?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Sturtevant?
Yes.
Mayor O'Malley?
Yes.
5-0, motion passes.
Thank you. Last item 5, downtown parking and business improvement area, confirmation of annual assessment. And again, on this, I don't assume there's any ex parte communications. No council member has had discussions with any interested parties outside of this hearing. Staff?
Mr. Mayor and Council, this is a tool we've had for a long time. It's a parking and business improvement district in the downtown area. We formed it many years ago under the Streets and Highways Code. And at one time, we collected a double business license fee, so the assessment to the district was the same as your business license fee, and it went into the district. And we actually acquired some of the public parking down in the downtown, and we used it as one of the revenue sources to help us start the Main Street program. A few years ago, as the economy turned down, we put the assessment at zero so that it didn't impact those smaller downtown businesses that were struggling to survive. We have offered to Main Street that we would review this fee at any time if they had an interest in it to put an assessment back in so that it would continue to be a source for parking or marketing or other benefits that can be used consistent with this.
Seeing none, I'll open it up to the public for any public input. Seeing no one approach, we'll close public comment, bring it back to council for a motion.
I'll make a motion that the council adopt the draft resolution confirming the annual assessment for the downtown parking and business improvement area.
I'll second.
We have a motion by Councilman Fonzie, seconded by Councilman Kelly. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Fonzie?
Yes.
Councilmember Kelly?
Yes.
Councilmember Moreno?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Sturtevant?
Yes.
Mayor O'Malley?
Yes.
5-0, motion passes.
Thank you. Moving on to our last item, number 6, Community Facilities District 2005-1, Annexation number 8, Oak Haven Village Townhouses. And I see a light from
Mr.
Councilman
Mayor,
Fonzie.
I would like to recuse myself. My firm that I work for, Century 21 Hometown, will be listing this property when it is developed.
Okay, we'll excuse you from this item. Thank you for bringing that to our attention. We do require that we wait till Councilman Fonzie is exited from the area, as it is a potential conflict of interest for her to participate. With that, I'll turn it over to staff for a staff report.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. So this item tonight is actually an election to form or to annex this property into an existing community facilities district. So this will be annexation number 8. The original community facilities district was established in 2005 by the City Council. The purpose of these facility districts is to create a taxing mechanism, basically where special services to for these new developments can be covered by the projects themselves. So these are fees that will go to pay for additional, this is new police and fire and park services to cover the needs of these new residents. So these aren't monies that go to pay for existing services. These will be for new services. As part of the council policy on new projects that are brought into the city, we do have a requirement that these projects be revenue neutral to the city. That's the purpose of these community facilities districts, is to make sure these projects do end up being revenue neutral. The property tax on these types of projects don't cover the full cost of the services, especially the emergency services provided by the police and fire departments. So the CFD process went through the process, but we didn't actually form the CFD at that time. Since then, we have a new owner, which is Oak Haven Village LLC, that now owns the property. If you've been up north on El Camino Real, the project is under construction. They have reapplied and gone through the voting process, which we're going to confirm tonight, and they are looking to annex into the community facilities district. This is the one requirement that it needs to be fulfilled before they can record their final map and create the actual subdivision that allows for the sale of the individual lots. So this is a map of the project area. You can see El Camino Real and US 101. The site is this area inside the box. It's between the trailer parks that are up near Santa Cruz Road, right before you get to the Home Depot Shopping Center. So as I mentioned, this is the final step that's necessary in order to annex into the Community Facilities District, and this is a requirement of the project before they record their final map. These funds that will be created will pay for new police, fire, and park services that are required to serve the new residents of Oak Haven Village. The tax levied against these parcels will be $633.12 per parcel, which works out to about $52 per month. So in terms of the process that we need to go through tonight, you will basically work with the city clerk to ascertain that the actual election votes have been tallied correctly. There's a resolution that's attached after the vote has been counted that will then establish the annexation to the CFD. So with this, I will turn it over to the mayor, who can then go through the steps that are listed on the screen here to complete the voting process.
Very good. Thank you. First, we do have an opportunity for ex parte communication disclosure. Again, any council member heard or discussed with any member of the keep no ex parte on this item. Well, we will open it up to the public for comments first. And welcome.
Mayor O'Malley and Council, my name is Bob Winslow. I'm the civil engineer on the project, and we're just here tonight to answer any questions that you might have.
Have the property owners consented to the election? Yes. And does the city clerk concur with the holding of the election today? Yes.
Very good.
I did just open the ballot as Warren was giving the report. And there is one ballot for the one property owner, and he did vote yes.
So that makes it easy. So the announcements of the results we have, and we can now adopt a resolution.
Make a motion that we adopt draft resolution A, making findings, certifying the results of an election, and adding the Oak Haven Village property to Community Facilities District number 2005-1 Public Services, annexation number 8, Oak Haven Village.
I'll second.
We have a motion by Mayor Pro Tem Sturtevant, seconded by Councilman Kelly. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Kelly?
Yes.
Councilmember Moreno?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Sturtevant?
Yes.
Mayor O'Malley?
Yes.
4-0, motion passes.
Thank you. If you'd ask Councilman Fonzi to rejoin. Next item on the agenda, C, Management Reports. Number one, Memorandums of Understanding for the Atascadero Police Officers Association, Mid-Management Professional Employees Association, Service Employees International Union, Local 620, Atascadero Professional Firefighters Association, Local 3600, and Resolution for Non-Represented Professional and Management Workers and Confidential Employees. Staff?
Mayor and Council, I'm very excited about this opportunity. We've worked long and hard with our employees and have a great relationship and good ongoing discussions with them. As you know, in the last 4 or 5 years, we have not provided raises or cost of living increases. And in fact, the employees came and helped us with closing the budget gap a couple of years ago at our request. With some takeaways from their compensation, and they have stayed with the city council and the strategic plan through the economic downturn. We are tight staff, but we continue to do a yeoman's job, and there's just some wonderful projects going on out there. These MOUs recognize a 2% across the board increase for all of our employees. And we're really excited that to tell them we believe in you, and we know that it is a very the things that you have set forth, and as you've seen by their actions, they are a dedicated bunch. So I'm really excited that again We have really good labor relations and solid contracts, and they're well within our fiscal restraints, and I thank you.
Thank you. Council questions? Seeing no council questions, I'm going to open it up to the public. Seeing no one approach, we'll close public comment, bring it back to council.
I'd like to make a motion.
Yes.
All right, I'd like to approve the memorandums of understanding for the Atascadero Police Officers Association, Mid-Management Professional Employees Association, Service Employees International Union Local 620, Atascadero Professional Firefighters Association Local 3600, and adopt the draft resolution for non-represented professional and management workers and confidential employees, and approve the salary schedule for fiscal year 2013-2014, and a well-deserved job by our city employees.
I'll second that.
Thank you. We have a motion by Councilman Kelly, seconded by Councilwoman Moreno. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Kelly?
Yes.
Councilmember Moreno?
Yes.
Councilmember Ponzi?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Sturdivant?
Yes.
Mayor O'Malley?
Yes.
5-0, motion passes.
Thank you, and we do agree all the words Councilman Kelly shared, especially about very supportive of the team we have. Thank you. Moving on to item 2, appointment of Rochelle Rickard as city manager. We have a staff report.
Yes, that will be my presentation, Your Honor. Well, the item before you is the proposed appointment of Rochelle Rickard as city manager. The current city manager, Wade McKinney, as you know from our discussion earlier this evening, is leaving the city of Atascadero to become the new city manager for the city of Indian Wells. He will be leaving effective June 28th, which is this Friday. As you know, the city manager reports directly to the city council and is responsible for managing the operations of city departments, assisting the city council with carrying out their role as representatives of the citizens of Atascadero, and administering operational activities and supervising the city's management team. There are three options available to you in connection with how to proceed at this point. The first option is that you could appoint a current city employee to employment agreement that is in your packet for Rochelle Rickard as city manager, if that is your decision tonight. You all know Rochelle Rickard has worked for the city for 16 years. She's a resident of the city. She is currently the Director of Administrative Services, and she has a broad range of responsibilities. The staff report goes into great detail about her accomplishments, with which you are all very familiar, but let me highlight just a few of those. She led the funding, planning, construction, and community outreach for the historic City Hall. The project is expected to be complete in July 2013 and is coming in $9 million under cost estimates. She has improved the overall financial condition of the city of Atascadero by proposing an overarching comprehensive financial strategy, which has allowed the city to maintain critical services in the recent severe economic downturn. She has fostered open communications by meeting with employee groups to improve understanding of projects, finances, and council actions. She was involved with the issuance of bonds in 2004 and again in 2010, achieving and maintaining a bond rating of A-. She has overseen the preparation of all of the budgets for the city, resulting in recognitions and awards from the California Society of Municipal Finance Officers for excellence in operating budgets for the fiscal years 2007 to 2009, 2009 to 2010, 2011-2012, and 2012-2013. She's also led the recovery process from the San Simeon earthquake. If I were to recite all of her accomplishments, we'd be here for a long time. You are all very familiar with Rochelle Rickard, and the staff report provides yet further background with regards to her experience, both with the city and as the Director of Administrative Services, and as a manager, one of the managers of the city, and on a member of the management team. The employment agreement is in your packet. I'll summarize a few of those provisions. The first one is that the term of the agreement proposes that the service of Rochelle Rickard for city manager would be for 5 years renewing annually, commencing on June 28th at noon. You need to actually give the precise date and time so that there's no question about who's in charge. Wade McKinney would serve as city manager until June 28th at noon. So that would be the passing of the baton. Secondly, the duties currently at Step E. The benefits the city manager would receive are described in the employment agreement. And finally, I would mention that the city manager serves at the will of the city council and may be terminated at any time with or without cause. If the city manager is terminated without cause, then the city manager is entitled to a severance payment equal to 12 months' salary. In terms of the fiscal impact of the employment agreement, if your decision is to approve the employment agreement, as I mentioned, the salary is $12,492.36 a month plus benefits. In the first year of the agreement, there would be a savings of $43,355 as compared to the cost that would be incurred for the salary and benefits of current city manager Wade McKinney. You do have alternatives available to you. You recall when I began the report, I gave you the three options, and those are the other alternatives. The attachment to your staff report is the employment agreement, and I'm available to respond to any questions.
Thank you. As we have often said, the council only has two employees, our city manager and our city attorney. And so these are very important decisions. We don't hire or fire any other employees. We don't direct staff. It's up to the city manager to do that. So it's very important who the city manager is, and the council has to have complete confidence in that person because truly our future as a city is dependent upon that. So we take this responsibility very seriously. We will open to public. I am going to, before we go to public, I am going to ask our current city manager to just comment on Rochelle, as he has worked with her for his whole career here. And after we conclude public comment and come back to council, I'm going to ask each council member to comment of, again, this is the time for any questions or concerns. Now is the time to raise them because we're going to make a decision tonight that's very important. Mr. McKinney, could you comment on the qualifications of this applicant?
Mayor and Council, I strongly recommend Rochelle Rickard as your next city manager. There's just everything good about Rochelle. We all know that she has a significant amount of credibility in the community and the organization and from each of us. We believe what she has to say. In fact, you know, every detail you add, a couple of things I want to make sure that everybody really knows. She's also one of the real people that not only drives this organization, but this community. All these assessment districts that we just talked about, Rochelle Rickard, not somebody on staff, but Rochelle and Russ actually sit with those people in their neighborhood or here at City Hall and bring them in and go through their problems on their park and their walkways and their roads and work those out. She knows how to deal with your community people. She is at the labor table with our labor groups. She is that person in City Hall that's like Marcia Torgerson that deals with the community. We don't always see her in the foreground, because I always try to tell her, she does the work, I take the credit. But she really is a very good people person. The other thing, I think she's really got her hand on the politics. She knows Tascadero. She's been here a long, long time. She's one of the Cal Poly students that decided to stick around or come back, I guess, is the in her case. But she knows about politics, and she knows vacation leave accrual is important to you. And she agreed in her contract to sell out a huge number, 500 hours, I think, or of her vacation leave, so that it didn't take this jump with her to in this new salary. And you know, that I think is a reach out, that she understands politics, so she could do projects. She's got a ton of credibility, most in City Hall. She's got the backing of the organization. She knows politics, and she knows how to run this business. She is the right person for your job.
Thank you. With that, I'm going to open it up to the public for public comment. We'll close that and then bring it back to the council. Welcome.
Ray Johnson, Tascadero again. I was the mayor during the last change when Wade came on board, as we commented on at the start of the meeting. And during that process, we didn't have somebody to promote from within. We had an interim manager for several months. Now, I will say he did a good job as an interim manager, but what an interim manager does, he's a placeholder. And we tread water for several months while we had that placeholder in place. We didn't move forward in any, for logical reasons. He's not going to set a new direction for a council that he's only for. Rochelle works well with the public. She's highly professional and a proven effective manager. We all know that. And in my point of view, it's been for months, years, will be for the next five, who knows how many years, money is going to be a critical issue as we go on into the future, and have somebody with a good handle on the money aspect of a city is incredibly important. When I ran the Economic Vitality Corporation, I went around to all the cities in the county, and I saw city managers that did not have a handle on their city's finances, and it was pretty disastrous when you see that. And without telling C stories, I've seen it where city managers have not had a handle on their city's finances. Rochelle's had a handle on that. She's been a good director of that and will do our city well. I highly recommend that you appoint her to the position of city manager.
Thank you. Welcome, next speaker.
Could you cue up that word, perfect document, please? I think it's called contract language. Good evening, Council, again. My name is Mike Brenler, and I tend to support the selection of Rochelle. I think she's a good person. That said, I do want to address three areas of the employment agreement which I find problematic. And I study those. I read a lot of contracts in my role as a labor consultant, albeit that most of those are line-level and mid-management employees that are involved. I wanted to point out this language in the proposed contract, Section 8, Subsection H. And it says, city shall pay for the city manager's membership in and for all fundraising fines as may be assessed by a civic organization, dues and all other costs associated with the city manager's involvement in civic organizations as requested by the city council. And please note that, you know, how similar that language is to Mr. McKinney's agreement in Indian Wells. And I just found that coincidental. I don't know if that's was a collaboration. I don't know if this is something vogue among city managers, but I do find it problematic. And I want to alert you to Section 8314 of the California Government Code as related to the gifting of public funds. And I argue that this language poses a potential red flag. Now, this is in no way meant to criticize or $500 a month, not including contributions to deferred comp, which will drive that amount to over $14,000 a month. And I think most taxpayers in the city would argue that the city manager can easily pay their own dues and fines to a service group of their choice. To do otherwise is improper. Second point that I wanted to make deals with the language in Section 8, Subsection D. It refers to the partial payment payout of vacation leave from the historic bank. And as applicable to the proposed contract, there's a payout of 500 hours at the current salary, admin services director salary. That equates to over $30,000. But there's no indication of what the hourly rate will be for the remaining 250 hours. It could, from what I can see, it could range anywhere from $15,000 to approximately $20,000. And the third point deals with Section 9, Subsection 2, City Contributions to Deferred Compensation. I have one, basically
Thank
one.
Thank you for your comments.
I have one paragraph. Can
Thank
I please?
Thank you for your comments. We're limiting to 3 minutes of input.
You don't
Thank
want
you.
To hear them. Okay.
Thank
Very
you.
Good. Thank you.
Any other member of the public wishing to comment on this item? Seeing no one approach, we'll close public comment. Let me ask our city attorney, I know you've reviewed this contract. Do you find anything in the contract that you think is at risk of being illegal or potentially a gift of public funds? Anything you would like to review?
No, I haven't. With respect to the subsection H, it's my understanding that the city council does encourage the city manager to become involved with the community and to join civic organizations. And if the council should make that request of the city manager, there's certain costs that are associated with membership in those organizations, such as these fundraising, they call them fines, and other costs that are associated with that activity. The city manager has been requested to do that by the council, so I think that that's a legitimate expenditure of public funds. And then with respect to the comment on subsection D about the historic leaf bank, I believe the way the contract is drafted, what Ms. Ricard would be doing is what she would be entitled to do would be to allow all 749 city that is being proposed in this contract. So I view that as beneficial to the city and certainly a concession that Ms. Ricard has is proposing here that would be a benefit for the reasons I've said.
Let me inject in there that, again, this is not something the council could require of an applicant or negotiate. This is something voluntary by this current employee in looking at this proposed contract.
Yes. The answer is yes. A contract between the city council and the city manager is one that includes terms that need to be mutually agreeable, and it's my understanding that the agreement as it's before you is acceptable, if you approve it, to Ms. Ricard.
Thank you. Any other comment by a city attorney?
No, I think I've covered the points.
Yes, thank you. Open up to any council questions. Looking at the light, Councilman Moreno, followed by Councilman Fonzie.
Thank you. Brian, could you also let, just for the public's edification, that Rochelle has chosen to take the voluntary furlough and explain what that means and how that works?
I'm not sure if I
know. There is a 3%. There's a between 1 and 3% furlough for management employees. Then there's days off, so she would continue to take a 3% reduction in pay as part of her contract in the budget cycle, and that would result in additional hours of leave.
Okay, thank you. And one last question: one of our speakers did bring up, you know, the city council directing Rochelle to possibly join one organization versus another. Brian, do you see an issue with that we would need to be aware of going forward?
I don't see an issue with that. I think the goal would be to get the city manager engaged in the community through these nonprofit civic organizations. That is a benefit to the city because it gives the city manager the opportunity to have contact with the public. And that is a public benefit. One of the roles of the city manager is to be the face of the city, and it's hard to do that if they're just sitting in their office all the time. So by encouraging them to participate in these communities, the one with respect to the giving up of the 500 hours at the lower pay rate, I doubt you're going to see that in too many city manager contracts. I think that's you know, an offer that's been made here by Ms. Ricard that is a substantial benefit to the city. So, you know, I tend to doubt that you're going to see that in too many city manager contracts. But it's a substantial benefit for the reasons I've said to the city.
Thank you.
Seeing no other council questions, I will go ahead and propose a motion. I move the City Council approve the employment agreement for Rochelle Rickard to serve as City Manager for the City of Atascadero.
I'll second.
I have a motion by Mayor O'Malley, seconded by Councilman Kelly. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Kelly?
Yes.
Councilmember Moreno?
Yes.
Councilmember Fonzie?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Sturtevant?
Yes.
Mayor O'Malley?
Yes.
5-0, motion passes.
Thank you. And pass our congratulations on to our next city manager. Moving on to our next agenda item, 3, contract for animal care and control services.
That will be me, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Mayor and Council, as you'll recall, 3 years ago, we entered into a contract with the County Animal Services to provide those services to our city. That 3-year contract is now expiring and up for renewal. There were some minor revisions to the language of the contract, and so I did want to present it to Council, provide you with opportunity to ask questions and vet this process out if need be. The primary changes to the contract this year do not involve service. Service levels will remain the same, and the type of service provided by animal control will remain the same. Those services include field services, where they go out, take collection of animals at the request of the public, enforcement services as we ask for increased patrols or various patrols to go out into our city and conduct enforcement related to animal control issues, and then board care, feeding, and processing of animals that are taken into animal control. That constitutes the largest majority of the financial burden incurred by the city with regard to their services. In this contract, some minor revisions, and you'll see a list that I've given to you, provided to us by Dr. Anderson with Animal Control, of what the contract previously looked like and what it looks like now. Under the contract review, the two significant changes, we requested that they limit that to a biannual reporting. So we'll now be meeting with Dr. Anderson twice a year to go over those amounts and those numbers. And we still feel that we'll be getting the appropriate information, be able to act appropriately in response to that information with that decrease. The other big change is the way in which the contract amount is decided upon. You'll recall that previously with the 3-year contract, the amount of money paid to County Animal Services was determined based upon the moving of the CPI. And as the consumer price index went up, we paid more, and as it went down, we paid less. During that 3-year period, it never went down, and we continued to pay more and more. They've now been able to, throughout the course of this 3 years, develop a better model, they believe, for providing a cost estimate to the individual contract cities, one that's based on services provided rather than on some nebulous other entity like the CPI. The services provided and the amount of services provided to the city could potentially have the effect of raising or lowering our contract amount in a year-to-year basis, and that's why I wanted to bring it to the attention of Council. Now, fortunately for us this year, it's had the effect of lowering the amount that we pay. In prior year contracts, we had paid as much as $248,000, a little bit over that, close to $250,000. That was significantly increased over where we were at just a few years before in 2009. Well, this contract, based on that service model, represents an almost $20,000 reduction in the amount of money that the city of Atascadero will be paying to the county for those services. And we do have the opportunity to engage in activities that would reduce that amount potentially even more, encouraging the licensing of animals within the city, reducing the amount of and number of feral cats that are out there, especially through the process of having them fixed and reducing the population that way, always have the effect of reducing the overall amount of service that they provide. And so the city can engage in those activities and potentially have an impact on how much we are charged by the county. It is possible that these amounts could go up. However, they would be potentially slight. If they were going to be large, certainly I would meet with Dr. Anderson, discuss the increase with him, and see if we could renegotiate the level of service or the number of services being provided to the county. Does bring our way, the service that they provide is not one that we would be able to find elsewhere through a private entity or company. And so I am recommending that the council approves the 3-year contract to extend through the year 2016 to July 1 of 2016. And I'm willing to answer any questions or concerns that you may have.
Thank you. We have a few questions. Councilwoman Moreno, then Councilman Sturdivant.
First, biannual, it should actually be semi-annual if it's twice a year. And so I notice it's in the proposed revision, not only in the table, but also on page, two of three at the bottom, C reporting. So if it is twice a year, then we want to make sure.
All right. I'll talk to Dr. Anderson about changing that language and get that amended.
It was kind of funny because you said, you know, oh, it was quarterly, and that was just a lot. And I thought, wow, a move to biannual is pretty big stretch. So
we mean every 6 months. We just say the wrong thing.
And then the other question was wondering, I don't, and this is just coming today because I'm coming fresh off the JPIA training that I went to. I would be interested in having the JPIA take a look at the contract just to make sure that all liability associated with anything that could come out of animal control services is properly transferred to the county. So that's something.
I think that's no cost to us.
Correct.
And let me ask on that, do we have time for that review if we follow this recommendation? Or is there a time critical factor on this?
The current contract will expire as of July 1. And Dr. Anderson is looking to go to the County Board of Supervisors with it shortly thereafter. I think we could potentially let him know that we are going to have CJPIA review it and would seek an amendment. And in dealing with Dr. Anderson in the past, I found him to be very workable on issues like that. I do believe that the contract was looked at through that process in 2009. I'd have to go back and look through some of those notes to make sure, but there hasn't been a substantial change to the contract language in that amount of time, and so probably there would be not many changes or recommendations that CJPIA would make.
So okay. At this point, it's just a discussion item. Once we get ready to make a motion on this, we'll see if we want to change the recommendation, but thank you for raising that question. Continue on. Any other questions? We'll move to Councilman Sturdivant.
Just to clarify
comments about this current contract, and would you advise any further research on this contract? Are you confident we could go ahead with this contract as presented?
Well, I think you can go ahead with the contract as presented, but I think Chief Haley makes a good point that I don't think that prevents us from having CJPIA do a review, and if CJPIA should come back and suggest a modification to the contract, we can go back and revisit that.
Okay, so I think I'll assume that that's something we can incorporate in, as suggested by Councilman Moreno and agreed to by the chief and our city attorney. That seems prudent for an extra level of review. Doesn't hurt since it's at no cost. Any other further comments by council? I will open it to the public. Any public comment? Seeing no one run to the lectern, we will close public comment and bring it back to council for a motion. And I would, if we make the motion, include that minor recommendation.
I can do that. I recommend that council authorize the mayor to execute a 3-year contract with the County of San Luis Obispo for the continued provision of annual animal control services from July 1, 2013 to June 30, 2016 in the amount of $229,459 for the first year, with annual adjustments based on the service levels provided to the city for each year thereafter.
Second. And, oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
And including in that a subsequent review by CJPIA, and of course the change from biannual to semiannual.
Second. Check. Second.
And before you vote, I should add that I had the opportunity to check on page 353 of your packet, and there is a termination provision in the agreement that either party can terminate the agreement upon 30 days written notice. So although it is a 3-year contract, if CJPIA had an issue and if for some reason there was an unwillingness to amend, you know, this is not a contract that you're bound to for 3 years. However, I think based on the comments from Chief Haley, it sounds like the parties should be able to resolve any issues that might be raised by CJPIA.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. We have a motion by Councilwoman Moreno, and I think it was a tie. We'll give it to Councilwoman Fonzi as a second. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Moreno?
Yes.
Councilmember Fonzi?
Yes.
Councilmember Kelly?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Sturtevant?
Yes.
Mayor O'Malley?
Yes.
5-0, motion passes.
Thank you. Moving on to item 4, draft
addresses have always been available to the public on the city website. The genesis of this grand jury report apparently was that the grand jury had received a citizen complaint concerning the city of Morro Bay and transparency issues regarding the Morro Bay email system. The grand jury then decided to do a review of the subject of email accessibility to city government for all 7 cities within the county, and then they issued a report, which is in your packet. They made various findings in that report. One of the things that they found was that the cities of city of San Luis Obispo had language on their website which read as follows. It said, email correspondence sent to and from members of the city council via the city's website are considered public records and may be subject to disclosure and additional distribution pursuant to the Public Records Act and the Brown Act. So that is what the city of San Luis Obispo had on their website. So the grand jury made 5 findings, and they requested that the city of Atascadero respond to finding number 5 and to recommendation number 2. So let me read what finding number 5 is. That is that the cities of Arroyo Grande and San Luis Obispo each have Brown Act disclosures relating to the use of official emails on their website. So let me pause. That's the disclosure that I just read to you from the city of San Luis Obispo. So the finding number, that was finding 5 that we're to respond to. Recommendation number 2, because after they make their findings, then they make recommendations, we are requested to respond to recommendation 2, which reads, quote, the cities of Grover Beach, Pismo Beach, Morro Bay, Atascadero, and Paso Robles should provide a Brown Act disclosure similar to that provided by the city of San Luis Obispo regarding the use of city-based emails as a way of demonstrating that they are in conformance with the Brown Act. And I should mention editorially that the city of Atascadero has been and still is in conformance with the Brown Act, but the recommendation, I think, is in the interest of transparency, too, is proposed to be as follows. Transparency is a high priority to the city of Atascadero. The city council's email addresses have always been posted on the city's website, along with many city employees' email addresses. The city has now posted the following email disclosure at the bottom of the mayor and council members' page in response to the grand jury's request. And this is going to sound familiar because I just read from it a few minutes ago, but this is what I'll read. Note, email correspondence sent to and from members of the city council via the city's website are considered public records and may be subject to disclosure and additional distribution pursuant to the Public Records Act and the Brown Act. So the proposed action for you tonight and the recommended action is for you to approve the draft response to the grand jury report. And in addition to that, the council as alternatives could modify that draft response. And in addition, if the mayor has any additional comments to make with respect to the draft response, that the mayor has the prerogative to do that, although it's not required to do so. So that concludes my report. I can respond to any questions.
Questions from council? No questions from council. I'll open up to the public. Any questions from the public? Seeing none, we'll close public comment, bring it back to the council. Again, I would say I'm proud to hear that we are in compliance and the grand jury did not find a problem with the city of Atascadero. And I certainly agree with let's even raise the bar higher. I think that's more disclosure is always good. And I think this is something we have always in the past discussed at our strategic planning and will continue to discuss at strategic planning of any other ways we can be more transparent in all of our dealings in the public. So I I will go ahead and recommend that we adopt this draft response to the grand jury.
I'll second.
So I have a motion by Mayor O'Malley, seconded by Councilman Kelly.
And should I add to that that you would authorize that response and you would authorize the city manager to execute the draft response?
You read my mind. Okay. Thank you for stating that.
Okay.
Again, motion and seconded. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Kelly.
Yes.
Councilmember Moreno.
Yes.
Councilmember Fonzie.
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Sturdivant.
Yes.
Recommendation is that rather than designate the city manager to sign, that we revisit that motion and that we authorize the mayor to sign the grand jury response.
Very good. So I modify my previous motion to have it be the mayor signing on this item. Do I still have a second?
Yes.
So let's do a roll call again on that revised motion.
We don't have to revoke the other one or anything?
No, you can just go with the revised motion.
The revised motion will supersede the previous motion. So is that your understanding, Ms. City Clerk?
So you're saying we don't need to do another roll call?
Oh, you should,
yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
But just on the new motion.
They're going to vote on the motion that's on the floor.
Okay. Councilmember Kelly.
Yes.
Councilmember Moreno.
Yes.
Councilmember Fonzie.
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Sturdivant.
Yes.
Mayor O'Malley.
Yes.
5-0, motion passes again.
And back to Councilman Fonzie.
Very good. I wanted to bring to the attention of the council and the members of the public that may be watching on TV an Assembly Bill 880 that is coming before Cacho, our assemblyman. And Assembly Bill 880 was mentioned in the Tribune today. I did a little research on it. Actually, it will make it so that businesses in California will reduce the number of hours that they may work before they have to kick in for Obamacare. Currently, it's at 28 hours for a worker, let's say at a Walmart or a Target or other store. If they exceed 28 hours, then the business has to contribute approximately $4,000 towards their health insurance. This assembly is proposing to reduce the number of hours to 12 hours. So if an employee were to work 12 hours only, then that business would be responsible for paying their $4,000 plus share. I think this is a business killer. It is not supported by the Chamber of Commerce. It would definitely have effect on the businesses in Atascadero. And I would recommend that each of the council members and any members of the public that feel so led call Cacho. His number is 916-319-2033 to voice their opinions.
Thank you. Other council announcements? Well, let me make a couple. One, I did want to do a brief report on the mayor's winemaker dinner the other evening, Friday evening. It was a very good turnout. I want to thank Mayor Pro Tem Sturdivant, Councilman Fonzie, Councilman Moreno, and joining me. And again, we've made that a pavilion, which is what we did the first time we had a wine, well, at least a mayor's dinner in 2006. We wanted to make some improvements to the pavilion that will allow all community groups that use the pavilion to benefit. So I would like to have staff maybe give a report on how that turned out, maybe in the weeks to come. And again, keeping with our goal of a council of not adding work on to staff or generating cost to the city in these activities, we have made sure that we paid all of our costs. We paid our costs for using the pavilion. I've asked staff to keep track of any time they've put in. We're going to reimburse for those costs. And on top of that, we're making a nice contribution for some needed improvements at the pavilion. So I'm excited about that. Kiwanis has also helped raise some funds that will be used for local youth scholarships. So this was a good project. I did want to mention I performed for the first time a wedding as mayor. And as you know, as elected mayors, as state of California are now allowed to perform some weddings. It's not something I would do very often because it's a lot of work and commitment. But there was a very, Kristen and Nick were quite a young couple. They'd come to Atascadero and really loved the town. In fact,
they proposed in front of our fountain and before our city hall. And Nick's comment was he wanted to propose somewhere that would be around 100 years later. And so how could you resist not being part of that wedding? And we wish that young couple well. Third activity I'd mention is I've recently met with members of the ALPS board regarding their Three Bridges project and some community trails that are going to be available. I think it's a great project. I know our staff has worked with them, and I have kind of left it to them to continue working with Warren and Russ on that, and I believe an item may come back to council on that in the future, and I'll leave that with staff, but at least that will be coming. And again, we'll leave that a sync primarily with Russ to let us know that project status in the future. And with that, any other council member? Councilman Moreno.
Two things to note. One, the mayor's and winemaker's dinner was quite really a special event, and I had many people say to me they had gone in previous years and how much they'd enjoyed it, including the wineries that were there and had participated. And the one, you had a lot of music playing, you had vendors there that were selling their wares, great wineries, food. It was really just a top-notch event, and you could see a lot of people were there and saying how much they enjoyed it. It's perfect because you've got the shading of the trees, and so even though it's hot outside, it was just a perfect event. And you know, to the chamber and everyone that put that on, the whole wine festival committee, good job.
And I see Councilman Sturtevant.
Well, you were so busy, I just didn't want you to forget about the chamber mixer we had at Porto Lynn on Thursday night. That was a very great turnout. And what was so encouraging were all the new businesses. And there were 5, 6, 7 new businesses that they were telling us about. I can't remember all the names right now, but I just remember thinking, my goodness, there's a lot of people that are excited about coming to Atascadero and joining the chamber and bringing their businesses here. So it was a great turnout. Thank you very much, Mayor O'Malley. Porto Lynn was a beautiful venue to hold it in, and businesses are thriving, and really there's a lot of energy and synergy here in Atascadero.
Thank you. Any other council announcements? If not, we'll move on to committee reports. And I will defer to next meeting on mine, Mayor Pro Tem Sturtevant.
No reports.
Councilwoman Fonzie.
The Design Review Committee met and discussed potential development that will be approximately across the street from the Sunken Gardens. It's Larry Weisong's project. Some of you may have seen it. It will be coming before the council shortly. Looks like an interesting project. And I was wondering if Warren could tell us what's on the Design Review Committee meeting for this week.
You have a couple items coming up. One is a review of the Los Lomas project. There's some estate lots up at the very top that have been bought up by a new developer. They're going to come through the Design Review Committee with their revised elevations for approval. And then the West Front project, where the Holiday Inn Hotel is, a developer has purchased those vacant lots there. So they'll be coming through with a potential redesign of some of the single-family units there. That'll be an amendment that the Planning Commission needs to review, but we wanted the DRC to look at that first. And then finally, the Paloma Mini Market down on Viejo Camino and El Camino at the south end of town. They're proposing an expansion. There's some kind of non-conforming issues that need to be resolved on the site, so we wanted the DRC to take a look at those issues as well.
Very good. And
this is targeted towards the chronic homeless who are in very, very bad health. And so they discussed that, and I think there'll be further discussions of probably joining that organization and see what we can do to help out the chronic homeless that are really in bad health. The other program that they talked about, and I think you'll start hearing a little bit more about, is SROs, single resident occupation. Those would be, say, if you had an older hotel that somebody bought in the rooms, I think right now are mandated to be around 220 feet, although there's some state regulations where you can go down a little lower. Those facilities might just have a hot plate or a microwave or something in it. They might be able to share some facilities like bathrooms or something, but once again, those would be smaller, affordable areas where some of the homeless people could
take up housing. So those are two projects that the Housing Committee were discussing, and that's my report.
Thank you. Councilmember Moreno.
I did have a question for Mr. Kelly, if you don't mind.
Sure.
I received a call from a lady, last name is Jorgensen, Becky Jorgensen, and she talked to me at great length about a project called Hope's Village. I wondered if you had heard about that and you're homeless.
Yes, that's come up for a discussion at the Housing Committee mostly. And I believe it's Portland, Oregon, or somewhere up north where there is a project like this. I think the community had a piece of city property, and they went out there and established these what appeared to be like smaller houses, and it was self-policing. And it appeared to work, according to the film that was presented to us. And I believe she has formed a nonprofit organization for this, and she's trying to go forward and get one situated or located here in our county.
The reason I ask is because she had recommended that it be located in Atascadero.
You know, I haven't heard that yet, but that'll be a pretty good discussion. I think Atascadero is already going beyond our scope of responsibilities with our ECHO program that we have. I think we're far and above every other city in the county, and I think there's some other cities that might be able to take on that responsibility a little better than we can. I think we've done a great job for ECHO, and I think as long as we can concentrate on that and help them along to increase their occupancy, that we have pretty much contributed to the program as much as we can right now.
Thank you.
It's just part of our membership, and so I found that very valuable. Also learned a little bit more about how the retrospective payment worked this year, which you all know that we did pay in this year's budget cycle, and the way they've changed their formulation going forward is we won't be having any more retroactive payments, and so we are paying more up front, but the idea is that 3 out of 4 years you're going to be over, which will compensate for the fourth year where you might be a little under on what you're paying. So it's costing more up front, but the CJPIA had kind of gotten into the position of almost, you know, bankrolling because they weren't collecting enough, and so now, you know, we're certainly caught up. Other cities may or may not be. They may be on payment plans, but anyway, going forward, we shouldn't see anything like that in the future. I am tomorrow. I'm glad to be filling in as alternate for Councilmember Kelly on the EVC board meeting.
Very good. Last item is individual determinations and or action. The last opportunity for any individual that would like to share any possible item for consideration.
I'd just like to say goodbye, Wade. It's been a good run. I wish you well done in Indian Wells, and please come back and visit us. You've done a great job for our city.
Well, that's an amen, and let's be adjourned. Oh, yes.
Actually, I wanted to explain, too, that's a little error on there. It says that you're appointing a vice chairperson. You're actually appointing the board member. The board themselves chooses their chair and vice chair, so
yes,
we'd just be appointing a board member to replace Wade.
Well, I retract my adjournment, and just to announce that I will appoint the new city manager, Rochelle Rickard, to replace the existing city manager, Wade McKinney, on the oversight board. And that is all that I need to do on that item, Ms. City Clerk. With that, I will adjourn. Thank you.